your Bibles and open, if you would, go to the book of James. Thankful for God's grace and mercy that He can take the hardest cases and save them. He could take the smallest child that believes by faith and save them. Amen. Got a big reach. I'm thankful for it. Go to James chapter number 4. It is no coincidence the statement I made just a moments ago about some things that we're going through. God gave me a message this past week, and then midway through the week, I found out all this information about what was going on up there in Ohio, and it's no coincidence. It doesn't surprise me at all what the devil's trying to do. James chapter 4, and as we get to the message, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The Lord gave this to me, and I'm thankful that God gives us the assurance of His Word. And that He'll even show us some things before we go through trials. He'll show us that it's okay. But the only way that we know that is if we're in His Word. If we get in the book and stay in the book, and God will show us some things. James chapter 4 and verse number 7, if you're there, say amen. I've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to turn to several scriptures. If I go faster than you do, I apologize for that. But maybe you can write down the references. But I would like you to turn to them as quickly as you can and look at some of them. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." I want to focus on that first verse. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil. All right, look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're given some instructions here in these passages about resisting the devil. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and look with me in verse number 8. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." It's encouraging to know this morning that the devil is going to attack, but you're not the only one he's attacking. There's other people that are doing things for God. And the Bible here says that he's suffering the same afflictions or accomplishing the brethren that are in the world. The devil isn't going to attack. I mentioned it earlier. Brother Charlie always said, do not be involved in anything the devil's not mad at. I mean, if he's not mad at something you're doing, you're not doing anything for God. And so the devil, it gets upset when you're trying to serve the Lord. Now, get something to mark your place here. In 1 Peter, we're going to go back at the end of the message here, but we're going to turn to some other passages in just a moment. As I begin to study this message and pray about it, it's a good thing to know your Bible. It's been great in Sunday school going over rightly dividing and going over the things we've been covering and looking forward to the dynamic Sunday school lesson next Sunday we're going to hear about. Amen. At least it was advertised that way. And looking forward to hearing that. But man, it's great to study the Bible. It's great to know the Bible. It's great to know about church. It's great to know about prayer. You know, the Bible tells us, there's a few verses I just read, and there's many more, that we ought to know some things about Satan himself too. We ought to know a little bit about the enemy. Football coaches, they study their opponent. They have different position coaches, and their responsibility is to study the other team and to study how they move, what their plays are. They study the other team, and a lot of times whoever studies the other team the best gets the upper hand in the match. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." It would be very foolish for us as a child of God to not have a little bit of understanding about how Satan works. It would be foolish for us. Now listen, I understand preaching a message like this, we're opening the door for attack. The devil doesn't like a conversation like this. He doesn't want us discussing his tactics. Why? He's been using them since day one, and they're working. And they're working on God's people. And they say, I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church, I'm faithful. All the things we're supposed to do. But then when the devil attacks, we don't know how to respond to it. And sometimes we don't even know it's the devil attacking. Now listen, there are some people that constantly say they're under attack by the devil and the devil doesn't even know they're saved. It's very rare for Satan himself to get involved in something. He's got demons and all that. There's all kind of verses we can go over this subject, but I'm not going to. But anybody that's trying to do right and do something for God, I promise you, you're going to be under attack. And so I want to look at this thing of resisting the devil. The biblical definition of the word resist means to set one's self against, to withstand, to oppose. And so the Bible commands us in two verses we've already read, and there's more, that we are to resist the devil. That means we don't let him have his way in our home and in our family and in our marriage. There's people that allow the devil to have his way in their home. They not only open up the door and invite him in, but they let him wreak havoc and they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have a clue what's going on through the television, through the radio, through conversations, through attitudes. What the devil wreaks havoc on the home, and some people don't have a clue what's going on. We need to be aware of what he's doing to set oneself. Now, the word resist shows up 10 times in the Bible, in your King James Bible. You can look up all those at some other time. I'm just going to mention a few of them, and we'll go from there. In Zechariah chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but we find Satan resisting an angel of the Lord and Joshua. They're trying to move forward in advance. And we find that Satan is resisting. The Bible said, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Anytime somebody's tried to do a work for God, the devil wants to get in the way. Started all the way back in the very beginning. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. We find different definitions and different examples of resisting in Scripture. Very quickly, Acts chapter number 6. We find that Satan has resisted angels. He's resisted the men of God in the Old Testament. But I want to say that people can resist preaching. We're talking about resisting the devil. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But a lot of times we find people resisting preaching. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible said, this is after Stephen was preaching, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. All right, now look at Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen's preaching absolutely full of the Holy Spirit of God. He's preaching the Word of God. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you there? Say amen. He said, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. He was a rough preacher. Ye do always what? Resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. People can resist the preaching of God's Word. They do it every day. There'll be churches all over the country, all over the world, that get up and preach today, and there'll be a Bible-believing preacher stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord, and people will resist the preaching. They'll resist. They'll withstand it. They'll say, I can't believe he's saying that. I can't believe he's preaching that. They did the same thing to Stephen. They did the same thing to Christ. They did the same thing to Paul. And they'll do it today. Rather than saying, you know what? Thank you for calling me stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear. Thank you for doing that. I want to make that right. Instead, they resisted and they got mad. You can resist the power and the Word of God. You say, really? This powerful book, I can resist it? God gave you a free will and you can resist it. Look at Romans chapter 13 very quickly. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 2. Verse number 1 is talking about every soul being subject unto the higher power. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power. You resist the power of God. You resist those in authority. The Bible said in verse number 2, resisteth the ordinances of God. And they shall resist. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. There's people that can resist preaching. They can resist the Holy Spirit. They can resist the power of God. They can resist the Word of God. And people do it every day. But who we are supposed to be resisting is Satan. We're not supposed to resist God. Why would we fight against God? Why would we fight against His Word? Why would we fight against the preaching of His Word? We ought to be opposing Satan. That's who we're supposed to resist. There's a lot more examples I can give of resisting in Scripture. Someone can oppose the Holy Spirit. They can oppose the Holy Scriptures. They can, and they also can oppose Satan, and that's who we should be opposing. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter number 4. And I want to give you an example and preach this message on resisting the devil. Y'all okay this morning? The devil don't like this at all. But I thank God I'm on the winning side. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Matthew chapter 4, we have an example. Jesus Christ is the example. I mean, we have the example of Paul. We got the example of Daniel and Elijah and Moses. But Jesus Christ is the example. He's number one example. And we find where He is put in a position that we find ourselves as God's children a lot of times. And let's see how He responded. And let's see some of Satan's tactics against Jesus. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read down through verse 11, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We find a match going on here. The devil is fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is resisting him, and then the devil leaves. Y'all see all that right there? Let me point out a couple things about this, about Satan's strategy. Let me say, first of all, that Satan will always attack at somebody's weakest moment. He'll always attack at their weakest moment. Look with me there, verse number 2. The Bible said, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. I would think so. I would think that after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating or drinking, that he would be hungry. And this is the moment when Satan decided to show up, because Jesus was weak in his physical body and he was hungry. And he'll always show up in the weakest moment. Do you know when he'll show up? He'll show up after you and your wife just had a fight. That's when he'll show up. That's when he'll show up and start talking in your ear. He'll show up when a church starts going through hard times. That's when he'll show up. He will show up in your weakest moment. He'll show up when you had a bad day at work. He'll show up when you had a bad day at school. He'll show up when you get bad news. Things happen. The law of sowing and reaping is in place. This world's falling apart. If you want bad news every day, you can have bad news every day. And there's some people that are going through hard times. You know when he'll show up? When you get a call from the doctor telling you there's not much they can do. Guess who shows up? Satan. He tries to destroy marriages. He tries to destroy homes. Do you know when the devil conveniently has that beautiful woman approach that man right after him and his wife just had a huge argument? And all of a sudden, he's tempted. That's how the devil does things. He shows up in the weak moment. He'll show up in the life of that woman right after they got done having a fight, and he's not helping out around the house, and he's not picking up his drawers from the floor, and she just had enough. And all of a sudden, somebody shows up that seems like he's got it all put together. Well, he doesn't. Amen? But that's when he shows up, is in the weakest moment. When you're at your weakest, that is when he shows up. When you think somebody's done you wrong in the church, guess what? He'll show up at that exact time, and he will continue to feed you things until you absolutely believe that nobody loves you and nobody likes you. He'll do that to a life of a young person that's considering doing things they shouldn't do with their life or leaving or whatever the case might be. He always shows up at the weakest moment, and so we know that. I referred to football a moment ago, but when they study those films, they might say, hey, that defensive lineman for that team, this guy cannot get through the line. He gets knocked over easy. Guess what we're going to run? We're going to run right to him. They're going to find the weakest area in that defense, and that is what they will attack. They're trying to find an opportunity where their receiver is faster than the one safety or the one cornerback. And when they're one-on-one, the quarterback loves it. He's going to throw it to that guy, and they're going to pick on him all day long. And that's what the devil does to us when we are in our weakest moment. Now listen, I love being on a mountaintop spiritually, but it's not reality for you to live up there. The flowers, the most beautiful flowers, they bloom down in the valley. And you're going to have valleys and you're going to have ups and downs. I heard a preacher say one time, if you go in the hospital and you see the heart monitor going beep, up and down, that means they're alive. If it ever goes like this, they're dead. Nobody's going to live. If you meet somebody that's like this all the time, they're faking. Because that's not life. That's not reality. And the devil will not necessarily attack when you're up on a mountaintop and everything's going good. And man, it seems like blessings are flowing. He's going to attack when you're down in the valley and the money's not there and the times are difficult. And that is when he will go to attack. It's amazing that couples right now, it's Christmas time, and there'll be families, there'll be husbands and wives that are at each other's throat over money. Christmas time's coming up. And little Johnny and little Susie have to have every present under the sun. And they're going to argue and fight over who has so many. Years ago with our kids, we decided they get three each. You say, that's me. No, they got plenty of things. Jesus got three. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. My kids better than Jesus? No. But guess what? We spend more money on those three. We make it special. And they get three gifts every year. A gold, frankincense, and myrrh type gift. And that's what we do. We don't ever have to argue about who's got how many. We don't got to count. We're stressing out about all that kind of thing. That's not what Christmas is about, by the way. But they're fighting, and then after Christmas, they're going to get the credit card bill. Because the big fat guy did not bring it for free. People swiping credit cards to pay for Christmas. And they're going to fight, and they're going to argue, and Satan's going to get right in the middle of it. But then tax time's going to come, and the government's going to give your money back to you, interest-free, and then all of a sudden these couples that are hating each other and on the verge of divorce, now they're best friends again. If money is keeping your marriage happy, you got a problem. I don't know why I'm getting off on all this, but the devil's going to attack at your weakest moment. He did it to Christ. Are you better than Christ? He attacked at the weakest moment. Let me say this about Satan also. Not only does he engage at the weakest moment, but number two, he equips lies with some truth. He equips lies with some truth. Look at verse number three. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Was he the Son of God? Yes, he was the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. A matter of fact, Satan even quotes some scripture. Look in verse number 6. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Was he the Son of God? Absolutely, that's true. Cast thyself down, for it is written. He's going to quote some scripture out of context to Jesus. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Satan forgot he got removed. His church membership was removed. Amen. He was no longer one of these angels. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Every time that Satan tells a lie, he will lace a little bit of truth in it. And he may even give you a verse for it. This is his tactics. And that's exactly how he'll work against you. There'll be just enough truth for you to think the whole thing might be true. I mentioned this earlier, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. But he's also the father of lies. And he'll use just enough truth to try to make you believe that the whole thing's true. And he will always equip truth with lies. Lies with truth. That's how he works. He'll engage you at your weakest moment, and he will try to convince you of a truth that is a lie. I talk to young people sometimes, and they'll say, "My mom and dad don't love me." Well, the devil says that they don't love you because they made you take out the trash or make your bed. Now, did mom and dad tell you to make your bed or take out the trash? Yes. But does that mean they don't love you? No. That means they do love you. They're trying to put a little bit of work ethic into you, trying to teach you some life skills. Amen? Say amen. The devil's going to try to lace a little bit of truth into that lie he's telling you because he wants you to bite it and he wants you to take it so he can destroy you. He is a destroyer. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we find some tactics of the devil. We find that he engages at the weakest moment. We find that he equips lies with some truth. We see an illustration of this every time a politician opens their mouth. We see an illustration of this. Most of the stuff they say, they don't plan on doing any of those things. But they're going to tell you just enough to get you to believe it. We find that he engages at the weakest moment. We find that he equips lies with some truth. And third, we find that he encourages you to do right at times, but in the wrong way. He encourages you to do the right thing, but in the wrong way. And guess what? If you do it that way, you're wrong. Look with me in verse number 9. Are y'all still with me? "And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee." There's other verses we can look at for this point. But he said, "I'll give you everything." Now, are we supposed to give the Lord Jesus Christ everything? The answer is yes. Some of you are like, "No, not everything. You can have my soul. I'm not going to hell, but I'm not giving up anything else." But we're supposed to give him everything. I mean, he's supposed to be our all in all. We trust him with everything. We give him everything. But Satan said, "I'll give you everything if you'll bow down and worship me." Guess what? Giving God everything, Christ, is the right thing. But you don't do it this way. You don't do it on your terms. You don't do it the way you want to do it. There's been a lot of people, even in this church, that believe they're doing the right thing when they make decisions, but they're going about it all the wrong way, and the devil's right in the middle of it. He loves it. He loves it when somebody that's supposed to be a Christian looks like they're doing the right thing, but they're just doing it all wrong. They're handling situations wrong. There's been people that have been hurt, and the way that they go about trying to make the thing right is all in the wrong way, and it ends up causing division in a church. That's what the devil does. There's another thing in this passage too to mention. I didn't mention it earlier, but when Satan took him up and showed him all the mountains and showed him all these things, the Bible said in Luke chapter 4, it was just a moment of time. The devil showed him everything he had to offer just in a quick moment of time. Man, I tell you what, Jesus Christ is from eternity to eternity. Whatever deal the devil has for you is not that great. It's not that good. And so we find that Satan's strategy in this battle that we find with Christ, and the same one with us, he engages at the weakest moment. He equips some lies with truth. He encourages you to do right, but in the wrong way. Satan, the Bible tells us, look with me in Acts chapter 5. We're just talking about resisting the devil, trying to understand how he works. Are y'all okay? Still with me? Acts chapter 5. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, say the devil's not bothering me. Praise the Lord for it. Either right now you're on a mountaintop and things are going good, or you're not doing anything for God. One of the two. But I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes if things start happening in your home and in your life and in your marriage, you might just want to stop and say, hey, this might be the devil trying to get at us. You and your wife having a hard time and fighting back for you. You might want to just take a breath and say, hey, I think the devil's trying to use some of his tactics right now. Be aware of what's going on. The devil loves to work off of your pride. He loves to work off of me first and I'm right. He loves that kind of stuff. If he ever hears a man or a woman say, I'm right, he loves it. And he'll work off of that. Look what it says here, Acts chapter 5, verse 3. The Bible here says that Satan can place thoughts and images in the minds and hearts of people. Look what it says here, Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath who? Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. This is one of the church members of this church here in Jerusalem. And the Bible said that Satan filled his heart to lie. You know what that means? That means Satan can put thoughts in your heart and in your mind that are not true. There's people that say, just follow your heart. That's a bad idea. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. Not to mention, your flesh does a great job on its own, filling up your heart with evil things or things that aren't right. But the devil himself can place the thoughts inside in your mind and your heart. He can place things there, get you to think about things you shouldn't be thinking about, get you to think wrong thoughts against your family. Not only can he put thoughts and images into your mind and in your heart, but look in Matthew chapter 13, he can also remove truth from your heart. We got Bible to back these things up. We're trying to look at the strategy the devil uses. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 19. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 19. Matthew 13 verse 19, the Bible, this is the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The devil, the Bible, we just saw two verses. The devil can place thoughts in your heart and in your mind. He can place thoughts against the preacher, against the church, against your parents, against your spouse. He can place thoughts within your head to make you think things you shouldn't think. Did the same thing to Eve. And he's been doing it ever since. But guess what he also can do? We can have a great service, be preaching the Holy Spirit work in your heart, and as soon as you walk out that door, he can cause something to rip that right out of your heart and out of your mind. And you won't think about it again until the preacher preaches it again. Won't even cross your mind. The Holy Spirit trying to deal with your heart. I think it's a dangerous thing for people to get in their vehicle sometimes, even if it's good music, and turn on music real loud real quick and get going down the road. Why? Because those are things the devil can use to steal the thought out of your heart. Every time a preacher gets up, even if you don't like him, and he opens that book, he wants to tell you something from his word. In your Bible reading, you shouldn't read your Bible with your phone opened up next to you. Especially Facebook opened. Why? The devil will steal everything you read. You'll read it, and when it hits your eyes, it's gone before it ever makes your heart or your mind because that phone's going off. Got to put the thing away somewhere. You got to hide it somewhere and turn off the notification. Oh, why? The devil wants to steal the sin out of your heart. And he'll do the same thing in a church service. As soon as you get in the vehicle, the first thing most people do is, where are we eating? And next thing you know, that's all we're thinking about is where we're eating. Why don't we think about Jesus not eating for 40 days and 40 nights, and let's meditate on the Word for a few minutes. Amen? So the devil will steal that out of your heart. It is no coincidence that after God begins to work in your heart in some way that all of a sudden opposition comes up. That's no surprise. Every year at missions time, Happens to me, it happens to other people's testimonies. God told me to give this much to missions and turn right around and get a financial blow. Immediately, you say, Lord? But you know what? You say, I trust God. And guess what? He takes care of it. But the devil's going to make sure to discourage you. He's going to try to steal your tithes and offerings. He's going to try to steal your heart. And he'll do whatever he can. There are some people that the smallest thing keeps them out of church, and the devil makes sure that they have something small every week to keep them out of church. It's easy for him. Some people are super easy. He don't have to get involved. He just keeps a little demon around to make sure something small happens. Amen. If it's Johnny's little toe, the devil will step on it every Sunday morning, and the whole family will stay home because of Johnny's toe. There's some people the devil can't get over that easy. Because they say, we're going to church. You're not going to stop us, devil. And so guess what? He has to work even harder on you. There's some others that are weaker in the faith, though. It doesn't take much. Let me say this about Satan. I'm almost finished. Satan is not omniscient. He does not know it all. Satan is not omnipresent. He's got a lot of demons and a lot of help and all those things, but he himself is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. And if you know your Bible, you know I'm describing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. Amen. And Satan is none of those things. Satan does not know all things, even though he knows more Bible than most church members. He used verses against Christ, did he not? You know what Bible verse the devil knows? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The devil knows that verse really well. He said, how do you know that? Because he whispers in people's ears all the time about how worthless they are. And if he can get you to think that in your heart, then he knows that's how you'll behave. If you have a defeated attitude all the time, the devil knows how to keep you beat down. If you're defeated, you're not magnifying Christ. And so the devil, he loves to use that against people. Because he knows if they can think it in their heart, that's what they're going to be. Bitter, angry. There's people today, man, they're so bitter, they're angry. I mentioned some of these recovering folks. They think they were done wrong when they were younger. And it eats them alive. There's people that believe they were done wrong, and it eats them alive. And the devil just keeps fueling it over and over and over and over again. Why? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The devil knows that. But the devil does not know all things. The devil does not see all things. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. We read in the Bible about some angels, and we know that Lucifer was the one that fell. He's Satan, and he was one of the archangels there. And there's some angels that are more powerful than others. Daniel, if you remember, and I'm finishing up, Daniel had an angel come down and shut the mouth of a lion, and he was laying on the lion. Y'all remember that? An angel came down and did that. And then there was another angel that came down to minister to Daniel, if you remember this. And the Bible said he was held up for 21 days. Satan was resisting this angel from going down to talk to Daniel for 21 days, and that angel could not beat Satan. And so what did he do? He called Michael. He called Michael down. Michael showed up, and guess what? He was freed up immediately. There's some angels that are more powerful than others. What I'm trying to say is Satan is not all-powerful. He's not all-powerful. A matter of fact, look at me in Revelation chapter 20 very quickly. Revelation chapter 20. I try to give you some of his tactics, what he uses, so we can understand how to resist the devil. Understand that he may be working in our heart and in our lives. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 1. So we know from Scripture that there's some angels that Satan's more powerful than some of those. He held this guy for 21 days. But guess what? One angel is going to grab him by the nape of his neck and throw him in the bottomless pit. You say, what are you trying to say? He is not all powerful. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus does this. An angel does this. The Bible said in Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. He's not all powerful. People think they can't get victory over the devil. I'm telling you, he's not all powerful. And this one angel is going to grab him and throw him in there. And I already know one who defeated him, and that's Jesus Christ, and he's living inside of me. Resisting can only be accomplished. Resisting the devil can only be accomplished by the Word of God. That's what Jesus used over and over and over again was the Word of God. And let me show you this. We'll turn to two more places. We'll be done. Ephesians chapter 6. These are familiar verses. We're talking about resisting the devil, opposing the devil. You say, Brother Andrew, I don't feel like I'm going through anything lately. I'm telling you that you do anything for God, the devil's going to show up in your life. And now you maybe could say, this is the work of the devil. This is the work of one of his demons in my life, and I'm going to pay attention to it and resist him. Don't let him win. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is a lot of enemies that are all controlled by the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, having done all to what? Stand. This is the definition of resist. To withstand, to stand against. Look at verse number 17. I'm not going to go over this whole thing for sake of time. The Bible said to take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need all the armor of God. I understand that. But I'm talking about resisting the devil this morning. You have to have the Word of God. It can only be accomplished by the Word of God. You've got to be equipped with the Word of God. If the devil was to start attacking your marriage or your home, or you personally on a certain thing, do you have a verse of Scripture you could fight against him with? We ought to. We ought to have a verse of Scripture that we can say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Word of God. We must be equipped with the Word of God. We must be encouraged by the Word of God. I'm a preacher. I preach almost every Sunday, but I listen to preaching throughout the whole week. I read my Bible every day. I need to be encouraged by the Word of God. And you need the same thing to fight against the devil. Be equipped by the Word of God, encouraged. And we must engage with the Word of God. You know what that means? We take the Scripture that we've learned, that we've memorized it, and we use it to fight against the devil. We use it to help our family and our marriage and our home. Do you have a verse for mental attacks against Satan? I got a few here real quick I'll mention. If the devil bothers you with anger, if you're real quick to get angry, the devil will cause things to happen in your life for you to get angry. If he does that, you can use Ephesians 4:26, Romans 12:17-21. I mean, there's verse after verse. If you need some comfort because the devil's discouraging you, Psalm 73, Psalms 23. There's a lot of books of Psalms that are a comfort to a child of God. And you must use the Word of God to fight against those things. If you deal with guilt, Romans 8:1, Psalms 32:8. If you deal with loneliness, Hebrews 13:5-6, Psalms 27:10. If you deal with lust, James 1:14-15, Romans 13:14. If you have a problem with patience, Galatians 6:9, James 1:2-4. If you deal with sexual sins, 1 Corinthians 6:13-20, James 1:15. If you deal with shame, Romans 10:11, 2 Timothy 2:15. I think you get the point. You can go on and whatever it is, there's a Bible verse that'll help you resist the devil. And you said, preacher, I don't know what the verse is. I know there's some ladies, this doesn't happen to me as often it has before, but there's a few ladies that every time the devil's fighting against them, they'll text her and say, can you please give me a Bible verse about this? And you know what? Thank God that they got enough wisdom to say, the devil's bothering me and I need some help. And they might not know where to find the verse, but they'll ask her, and she'll reply back with a whole book of Bible verses. Why? Whatever it is they're going through, there's a lot of Bible to help you. But that's how we have to fight against it. You know how people fight against it today? Another pill. Most of the things that people take medicine for is attacks of the devil. It's a spiritual battle. But they just take another medicine. Go back with the 1 Peter chapter 5 and I'm finished. Miss Sarah, if you come to the piano. Look, I know it was a little bit different this morning. It's real quiet in here. I'm tired of Satan getting advantage over people. I'm tired of the devil destroying homes and destroying young people, destroying teenagers. Aren't you tired of hearing about things like that? Destroying ministries, destroying preachers, destroying parents. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6. This is one of the verses we started with. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to humble yourself before God and say, I can't handle this. I have to have God's help. That He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The devil attacks in your weakest moment. You'll go through trials. You'll go through struggles. And you try to bear your own burdens. You don't cast your care on the Lord. And the devil will attack you in those moments. Casting all your cares. Whatever your struggle is this morning, give it to Christ. Let Him carry the burden with you. Right after casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you, He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I'm thankful for this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. These are all the things that Christ wants to help you with this morning so the devil doesn't get the victory. Stop holding on to bitterness and anger and all the hurt that you've had and give it to Him. Casting all your cares upon Him so the devil can't use those things against you. The last verse, you don't have to turn there, but Galatians 5:7, Paul says to the church of Galatia, ye did run well, but who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who's hindering us this morning? We need to resist. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I know the devil's not happy with a message like this. I know, hey, but man, we need to run back to God, casting all our cares upon Him, for He cared for us. Every head bowed, everybody closed, nobody looking around. If God spoke to your heart this morning, would you talk to Him? But maybe the devil's been fighting against you some. Maybe there's been some conflict. Maybe there's been some things that he's been getting a leg up on you. Don't let him win no more, man. Give this thing back to God and get the victory. There's many that have come this morning. What about you? Would you come? The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. Would you come? The devil been nagging at you. The devil been after your children. Maybe there's somebody else you need to pray for this morning. Maybe the devil's been wreaking havoc on a family member or somebody else in your life, and you need to come pray for them. The devil's a vicious, 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 vicious creature. But I'm thankful that I know the one that's already defeated him. Whatever it is, come talk to the Lord this morning about it.